This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
At the club, Club 1080.
My mouth was big enough that it just fit in nicely.
For the most part, you never truly feel comfortable because we've all been backdoored a time or two, and it rips your guts out.
Incited the erection.
I hope she comes in and dominates all of us. I'm going to give it to you.
Give it to me.
And I'll pull it out for you here. Okay, welcome back to our show, guys. And gals, how's
late
everybody
as
doing?
Always on a Friday.
Yeah, I told you it would just be a matter of time before we ended up late.
Hey, but that for that one glorious moment at 5:02, man, we were dialed in.
Well, coming up here, we've got some cool hot items to talk about. I do want to tell you that there is a new 1080 The Fan lineup starting on Monday.
Yes, in case you've been living under a rock.
Yeah, if you listen to the station, you probably know about it.
Yeah, but I mean, we'll get tricklers. I mean, we still get people that are like, you know, what happened to Cam? And it'll be a year from now and people are like, hey, did Dirt and Spray get fired? No, just in the mornings.
When did Ian Furness leave?
Yeah,
wasn't he doing the afternoon show?
Well, but some people kind of tune in. They tune
been
out.
Been out of town.
Yeah, it happens.
So Dirt and Spray will be in the mornings on Monday, beginning Monday. And the AJ and Dusty show will all be tuned in, huddled by our radios at
the new
noon.
The new Dusty Bottom show.
Exciting.
By the way, on a somewhat completely unrelated note, have you seen the Hawks and the Oklahoma City Thunder are playing right now?
I did see that.
They're
the same color jerseys.
They're wearing the same color jerseys. It's the most befuddling thing. Like, why or how?
I don't know how that happens.
Yeah.
Because doesn't one team have to choose a color and the other one has to wear white?
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Or if they choose white, then the other one has to wear a color.
But Oklahoma City's wearing their orange jerseys, and then the Hawks have theirs that is like an off-red, looks like grapefruit. But it looks like it's the same players. There's going to be 7,000 turnovers in that game. It's not it hurts my eyes. It's like the color rush in the NFL, but at least then you have to have different colors. You can't have like two teams with blue color rush jerseys.
Yeah, you want to spice up a game.
Same unis?
Yeah, just make the players all wear the same colors. That'd be interesting.
We ever had that year, like playing pickup, and there's someone that's uncomfortable going shirts and skins, so everyone's just wearing their own. It's just like hodgepodge of t-shirts. It takes you a good quarter or two to figure out what the hell is going on. You're like, wait, who's on my team again? Just go find it on YouTube. It's or not YouTube, but Twitter or whatever. It's bouncing around clips of this game, and when you're just kind of glancing at it, you cannot tell the difference between the two teams.
Is Gordon Ramsay a good dad? We discuss.
He's yelling at his kids.
Well, no, there's a reason why he's in the news. A lot of people are giving him crap for this.
Okay.
And I want to see if you guys.
I know nothing about him. He seems like a horrid human being, but
he sure does.
And I don't know. How much of that is for like TV and you spice that up?
Oh, I think he's an ass.
That just blows my mind that anyone, and I guess maybe if you're like you're an up-and-coming chef, it's like you have to kiss his ass, but could you conceive as a grown adult getting treated like that by a boss or a superior in any way?
No,
that wouldn't fly.
Pull out my switchblade.
Rop will cut you.
Cut a fool.
I mean, if you're making enough money, I suppose you shut up and take it. But even in the sports world, you really can't get away with that stuff anymore.
Okay, this from studyfinds.org.
You do love your study finds.
I do. If you could be one age for the rest of your life, what would you choose? Would you stay a child?
No, I wouldn't stay a child because then
you go back to college.
You can't drink, drugs, you know, all the tud.
Well, the survey... So this is a survey of Americans.
Yeah.
They believe there is a sweet spot. There is an age. They've chosen an age.
All right, here's the thing. I thought about this because you teased this yesterday. There is something appealing about the teenage years because you have zero responsibility whatsoever, right? You can literally just, you can burn one every night. It's just...
But you know what, though? Can I give you a retort there real quick?
Go for it.
I feel like... Those years, you don't know that.
Yeah.
You don't know enough yet to understand just how...
Awesome it could be,
right. You're really wound tight those years because you just think this is your whole world when the reality is none of it matters.
If you could take me, the sensibilities at 42, and put me into my 17-year-old
self... But that's not what
self,
we're talking about here.
Okay, so I'm eliminating that.
Yeah.
Plus, you still have parents over you and, you know,
yeah.
you got to worry about all that.
You don't know what you're
trouble.
Doing in the sack.
No, it's just weird
it's
and awkward.
Awkward.
Yeah, so...
Out.
I'm going to push that out.
Out.
Now, some people are going to go with your 20s because, again, you're on your own at that point. Maybe you're out of college. It's the same sort of thing, but you're dirt ass poor.
T's are flowing, though.
Yeah, your T's are flowing, but you got no money, right? You haven't seen anything. You don't know crap. You think you do, though. You think you do, but you're still a dumbass. You've experienced nothing. You don't have the money to really experience much of anything. I'm going like 30 to 32.
Okay.
Would be the sweet spot because you're still young enough where nothing like is completely falling apart yet. Your eyesight hasn't gone. Your back doesn't hurt. You've got a little coin in your pocket. You moved up enough where maybe you can afford to travel a little bit. And when you do travel, you're not an ugly American, but you're still young enough to where you can kind of get away with some crap. Mm-hmm. That's 28 to 32.
Okay.
That's the sweet spot.
Okay. Well, I differ with you a little bit.
Okay.
Because I don't care as much about the physical stuff.
Sure.
No, I don't want to be like 75 and decrepit.
Yeah.
You know? But I have found that while my body is still intact, even at the old age of 45 now, life just keeps getting better.
Sure.
I like it more and more every year that passes. So I would tend to go a little older, but I know that this number is not going to be that because people obsess over age and anti-aging and like their bodies and stuff,
yeah.
Which I could care less about. As long as I can swing the golf club,
you're fine.
I'm fine. Because, you know, life has a lot to offer, and it takes time for you to understand that and really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And I want to be in those years. And I feel like I'm moving into those years. Now, this is a survey of 2,000 Americans. 4 in 10 said they would not go back to their 20s.
Okay.
And I agree with you about everything you said about the 20s. I agree. I had a blast in my 20s.
Yeah.
But that's not like the best... Maybe the funnest time of the life, but not the most well-rounded and fulfilling time.
You have a lot of fun.
But yes, I certainly did. I don't know if you did, but I did. Instead, they have found the perfect age to be frozen in time is 36.
Ah, so just slightly older.
36. And it says, although aging is inevitable, health-conscious Americans are exploring solutions to defy the chronological age. The majority of those surveyed, 59%, said they used to be obsessed with fighting the aging process. Another 56% added that fighting Mother Nature is exhausting. So they settled on 36 as a nice, like, hey, I'm not young and dumb.
Yep.
But I'm also not, you know, going south.
See, at 36, right?
You're not really going south at 36 yet.
No, but you got a career, right? You got a little vacation time built up. You're probably driving a halfway decent car. You know, it's a little...
Well, what does that matter? I mean, come on. A car?
It matters. Like, are you telling me you're going to be stuck at one age and you want to be driving around in, like, your 88 Corolla?
I mean, you know, when I was in my 20s, I had a Ford Explorer.
Yeah.
It was all right. I mean, you know, dog fit in the back. You know, you could get a girl back there.
And now you have an Audi Q7.
Yeah, but that's not a consideration for what's the greatest age. I mean, I don't...
I think it goes to a comfort of your lifestyle.
That's a things thing, and things whatever. But as you get older, you do get more things.
Yeah.
If you play your cards right,
and you get nicer things.
You definitely do. Yeah. I mean, if you play your cards right, not always.
That's true.
You know,
when you get divorced in your 20s, you're probably living in a crappy apartment somewhere, right? I'm sure at the time you're like, oh, that's you don't know any better. You're 23, but do you want to live in that 23-year-old apartment forever?
You know what's interesting is I live in the same house that I lived in when I was 20. Let's see, what year would that have been? 29.
But you've completely remodeled it.
Oh, yeah. It's way nicer. But it's the same size.
Same size, but way, way nicer. See, and this goes back. You can be like, oh, I don't care about things. Yeah, you do. Because you drive a nicer car and you remodeled your place.
Nobody said I don't care about things. I said I don't. The car thing has never been a thing for me. I've always driven crappy cars until now. And it's nice to have a nice one, but I don't need it. It's not a consideration. But anyway, I'm sure it is for all the vanity out there. But age is all how we feel, according to this. Most people said that, you know, 40s and 50s, not bad.
Yeah.
Of course. The hard part about this survey is when you're young and you're in your 20s and 30s, you don't know what it's like to be in your 40s and 50s.
True.
So you have no clue. You just think it's old and sucks. Yeah, it actually doesn't.
No, this guy says 32, making good money, can get the 25-year-old hotties, but also the 40-year-old divorce hotties.
Ooh.
They want younger guys playing his best golf. He's living the dream.
You are hitting it further at that age.
Yes.
It's all about the ladies.
This guy says 36, feel cheated that my optimal age came during a global pandemic. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's true. That sucks. That sucks for you, buddy.
Now, I will say that I like 42. I have no problem with 42, but boy, I'll tell you what. If I could make my back, shoulders, knees, neck not feel like I'm 42, I would be very grateful. Although, to be fair, they felt like this when I was 28 as well. So, just...
You know what the other thing you do, I think, as you get older, is you are able to... You are way more in tune with your hot body. And, like, you don't treat your body as poorly.
No.
And that is, there's something nice about that. Now, young people are going to laugh at that. But I'm telling you, you know, like, for example, drinking. Like, you used to just throw caution to the wind. You could go balls to the walls.
Sure.
And you could wake up the next morning. You may be hungover or whatever, but you could go about your day. You don't do that later in life. You stop that. And you know exactly what is, you're just so in tune with, like, okay, this is going south. This is getting away from me. I am stopping right now because I know how this is going to feel in the morning, and my body can't handle it. So I'm out. I'm leaving.
It's 10,000 hours rule, man.
And that is nice because you don't care about that as a younger person, but as an old, you do care about that. And I'm factoring that in too.
Yeah.
So it's 40s for me.
Yeah.
It's 40s.
Well, it's not far
I think
off
the 40s have been great.
It says 36. I mean, you're not that far off.
Yeah, I'm going to go 40 to 45. No. What happens from here on out, I don't know, because I'm only 45.
Look, your optimal age is going to be like 61, and you know it. Rob's going to be like 61, and be like, it's the time of my life.
How far can I hit the ball?
He's like, I'm asleep by it, 7:15 every night. This is great.
That's already happening. Am I a plus handicap at that time? Because I'll take that.
Yeah, you're the oldest 40-year-old that I know.
I'm 45.
Well,
I'm not 40.
You're the oldest 45-year-old that I know.
So it could be 61. I don't know.
I think you're just hitting your sweet spot.
All right. Well, anyway, the survey says 36 is the optimal age. If you could be one age for the rest of your life.
And the young people will just be like, that's the dumbest thing in the world. Give it time.
Yeah, you'll understand later.
Give it time.
You'll understand when you're 36.
Yeah.
It is 6:21. Coming up next, is Gordon Ramsay a bad dad? Next on The Fan. I have Grand Theft Auto news coming up. Recruiting with Andrew Nemec coming up at 7, 30 minutes from now.
My guess is he's talking about recruiting.
That's your go-to line there. Never gets old, that one. I bet that is what he's doing.
Just a guess.
He's in there.
Just
so
a,
Mike
just
said
guess.
In my headset, he said, hey, Andrew Nemec's on, just so you know, tonight. I'm like, well, yeah, he's been sitting in there for an hour. I would imagine he's not doing that just for his own, you know.
Well-being?
Right. Mm-hmm. He's probably got a
it's
show.
It's just not the normal night, which is why I was making sure you understood.
Well, no, I figured it out.
You're Rob being awful saucy right now.
I put two and two together. I figured that if he was here on a Friday night, it's probably because he's got a show. But
Rob's copping a real attitude right now.
Ducks basketball doesn't just affect you. It affects him.
Oh, wait, when's his show normally?
Normally it's Thursdays, but during Ducks basketball season, it's Monday. But there was a game this Monday, and then there's a game next Monday,
God.
His show next week will be on Thursday.
He should just do a show every night.
A lot of moving around.
If he does a show every night, that way we don't have to worry about what night it is.
That's true, but then
just
the
tune
hot,
in and it's
then,
on.
Then you'd have the hot corner, and how would we go inside the Ducks?
Hot corner's on Wednesdays.
Yes, but if he did a show every night, we couldn't do the hot corner.
No, it'd be on after.
And then again, we couldn't go inside.
That'd be later.
You have to be able to.
By 1 a.m., we'd wrap it all up.
That's true.
Is Gordon Ramsay a good dad?
I have no idea.
Well, here's what he does that has some folks have given him some heat for. He's got, I believe he has four kids.
Okay.
Three girls and a boy. Maybe he has two girls and a boy. And the boy looks just like him.
Same mom, or are we, you spread it around a little bit?
Well, I don't know if they're the same mom, but they look like a lovely little family.
Okay.
And the kids are getting older now.
He's got five.
I think there's only...
I see right here, he's got Matilda, Oscar, Jack, Holly, and Megan.
Jack, Holly, Megan, that is five.
Yeah.
Great, good
counting there.
Great counting.
One, two, three, four, five! I mean, there's really just, you Google his kids, it's right there.
Okay, well, whatever. Anyway,
you're like, eh,
his little kids, or his actually all of his kids, he makes them sit in coach.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
So he flies first class.
All right.
And his wife flies first class, but he insists his children sit in economy. And this has made a lot of internet mad because, well...
Yeah, they just feel like he's just being an ass.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like, why would you do that to your kids?
Good
or bad?
I can see both sides of this. Now, his logic behind this is, I think Will Smith said this once. He was talking about his kids, and he had to remind his kids, I'm rich, you're poor. I choose to allow you to have this sort of lifestyle. So, you know, it is true.
But those kids aren't poor, though.
No, they're not.
Nice try, Will.
But Gordon Ramsay, his kids are insufferable.
Gordon Ramsay's kids?
No, Will Smith's kids. Oh. Whatever he was doing didn't work. His kids suck. But there is an element to, you know, just because your parents are wealthy doesn't mean that you're wealthy. You can turn 18 and your parents can be like, hey, you know, nuts to you. You're on your own.
Yeah, I guess.
So there's an element to, you know, he's trying to teach them some sort of humility.
Right. I get that idea. But is that really doing it? You know, and like, is every other thing in their life great except for that? And they're like, damn. They're, you know, like if that's a consistent message, then well played. That's I like it.
I do find it a bit odd.
Not,
like if you're going on a family vacation, you're like, hey, mom and me up here.
Good luck.
Screw you. Well, if I was a kid there, and especially as I got older, I'd be like, hey, dad, what the hell, man? I can see where that would rub some people the wrong way.
So Ramsay says that the kids, when they were younger, you know, ages 5, 6, and 7, whatever, you know, he goes, first class seats, they don't need those big ass seats.
Yeah.
There's a lot of room. They don't need that. And they have entertainment on their iPads. Like, you can throw a screen in front of them and they're fine. Which, that I agree with. Like, the little kids, they don't know the difference anyway.
No, but who's back there with them?
Throw them underneath the plane.
Put them in a dog crate. Isn't it a little weird, though, that you got, like, kids flying solo back there?
Nah.
You don't want to.
You're right up front. What do you think's going
to
happen?
You don't want them to have some sort of supervision?
No.
I'm sure he gets stink eyes when he gets on the plane first in first class, and the kids come shuffling on significantly after. I'll bet you get some pretty...
I will say, I've never seen this. I don't know if you've ever seen this on a plane where the parents shove their kids back to the back, and then they go sit first class.
Someone said maybe they just want to enjoy the flight.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, I actually don't think it's a horrible thing, but a lot of people on internet do. But then again, Gordon Ramsay gets a lot of heat for everything he does. He says, I like to think about what you can do with the money when you land rather than paying out thousands of dollars for 8, 9, 10-year-olds to sit in first class. I'd rather spend it once we get there.
Look, but that's the thing is Gordon Ramsay, he doesn't that guy's got so much money. The tickets can't be this can't be a financial thing.
He says, so his kids are now, at least the only three they mention here are Megan, Jack, and Holly. Oh, Megan, Jack, and Holly, and then Matilda's four kids, yeah. 18, 17, and 15. And he says, I don't want them sat there with the 10-course effing menu and champagne.
Well, I...
Okay. It's our... And he says, I'm not embarrassed by this at all. It's my wife and I's choice to discipline them and to keep them real. They have a completely different life than I did growing up. I worked my arse off to get out of the SE mess that I grew up in, and they're grateful. They're not spoiled.
I tend to believe that their life is...
By the way, listen to this.
Their life is pretty great, and this one thing isn't keeping them grounded.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if that's your message, if you live that life, you better Warren Buffett that. Like, Warren Buffett, he's consistent.
Yes, but if your kids all go to private schools and at 16 they're driving Jags and, you know, they've got...
This is where I draw the line. You're not sitting first class.
Yeah, then you're just being an ass. But
He says, this is his quote. He says... This is from the Independent. Ramsay has disclosed that his children will not inherit any of his fortune in his will.
Wow.
He says, quote, it's definitely not going to them, and that's not in a mean way. It's to not spoil them. The only thing I've agreed with Tana, his wife, is they get a 25% deposit on a flat, but not the whole flat. I've been super lucky having that career for the last 15 years in the U.S. Seriously, it has earned a fortune. And I've been very lucky, so I respect everything I've got, end quote.
See, and that's another one. You can do what you want with your money. He's made $200 million is his net worth.
$200 million.
Jesus. Dude, I'm sorry, but in my
view, his kid, I'd be pissed.
In my view, if you're doing that, you're worth $200 million, and you're like, I'm not leaving it to my kids. That's an a-hole move. You don't have to leave them. You know, you don't have to leave them enough where they don't have to do anything. But really. Like, you're just that's you're going to leave your fortune to a bunch of strangers as opposed to your kids.
Well, maybe he's going to charity.
Yeah, that's can't get on board with that. So you asked, is Gordon Ramsay a good parent? I don't know if he's a good parent, but I'm saying he's an a-hole.
I'm guessing he's not. But that's just based on the fact that he seems like a schmuck.
Yeah,
all walks of life.
A lot of yelling and screaming. I'm just waiting for someone on that show to take a frying pan and go upside his head and be like, I want some like just big dude be like, dude, you yell at me one more time, I'm whooping your ass. And Gordon to yell at him and the dude just a cold cock.
Wasn't he the one that somebody died?
I don't know. I just know on that like Hell's Kitchen and stuff or whatever, he just freaks out at people.
I thought he was the one, and maybe one of those other a-hole celebrity chefs, but there was one where somebody ended up committing suicide.
Oh.
And it came back on the way that the chef treated him on one of those shows.
Wow.
I thought it maybe was Gordon Ramsay, but I don't know.
That's just my dream, is I'm just waiting for on one of those shows where you get the belligerent, like, you know, whatever, chef or interior designer or whatever to just be berating someone for no reason and then just get his ass whipped.
What are the worst bad dad things you do and you know you do? There's a question.
Oh, I got plenty of those.
We all do.
Yeah.
But if that's his worst bad dad thing, he makes his kids sit and coach while he sits in first class. That's not all that bad. No. Something tells me that's not his worst, no, though.
But that's low on the list.
All right, text 503-250-1080. Here's Mike.
The Fan.
Double Sun Power!
We were discussing Gordon Ramsay not letting his kids fly first class.
I don't let my kids fly first class either, so.
I don't either.
Clearly, me and Gordon Ramsay, both great parents.
You got to draw the line somewhere. My kids will not be... Wait, I only have one.
Yeah. By the way, Oklahoma City was forced to switch jerseys at the half.
Oh, good.
They're back in the whites now.
You know the worst bad dad thing that we all do that we know we do is we throw the little... Like with the little kids, is we throw them in front of a TV or a computer. 100%.
Now it's just an iPad.
Yeah, I do it all the time.
Go to a restaurant now and look around, and it's kind of disturbing. We were at... was it La Provence? We were there just like last weekend. and we're sitting in and we looked over and there was a table next to us and they had three kids that were probably, let's go 2, 5, and maybe 7, right? It's three little kids. Every one of them had the giant phone, like not quite the iPad, but like the big ass phone, and the entire meal just staring right at it the entire time. And it was fine. I mean, the kids were quiet and they all looked entertained.
That's the key.
But I did. I kind of looked over and I was like, because I asked I was talking to the special lady friend. I said, do you think in 20 years that there's going to be some sort of study of just how screwed up we've made this? Because I thought about it. That kid's 2. And from the time he was 2, he will be, no matter where he goes, he will be staring at that big giant screen with some sort of, you know, visual stimulation coming at him. That can't be a good thing for you, I would think.
Probably not. Yeah. But you know what? It's a good thing for the parents because they can enjoy a meal in peace and quiet while those stupid kids shut up and sit there and watch their iPad.
And it is true. I shoved the Monte Cristo in my face and I didn't hear a peep from those kids.
That's right.
So I was like, hey, it works.
You tip the guy $5.
Yeah,
and say, like, hey, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate it. They all just lined up like little ducks in a row, though, just zombie-like staring. The little ones, too. I mean, I get, like, teenagers, but, man, you're 2. You don't even know what's going on. You just know that the Teletubbies, whatever the hell, is just being beamed directly into your brain 24/7.
Well, you like to think that those people don't always do that, but they probably do.
They probably do. I mean, we're all guilty of it. I mean, it just was different. It wasn't an iPad or whatever, but I did that. Like, you know, you're tired in the morning and you're just like, here's some cartoons.
Totally.
And you just turn it on and then you're like laying back down. We've all done it.
Yep.
Maybe you're hungover. Like, you know what? We're going to keep the lights off for a while. Dad's going to sleep in just a little bit more.
You want to watch another movie, little Billy?
Yeah. I used to go to Cinetopia and if you go into the living room theaters, they have like couches, like kind of like round couches. And I would sit kids on either side of me, give them a big thing of popcorn, a soda, and I would lay in the middle and I would just fall asleep. And it was wonderful. And occasionally they would like elbow me and like, dad, I'd be like,
snoring.
This is great. And then I would just, I took a nap.
You do the fake wake up and laugh.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Oh, I've been watching. Well, you can't fool anyone with that. And yet we still do it.
We still do it. I used to sleep all the time. I'm like, kids, you want to go to the movies? Yeah. And dad's like, yep. I was paying $12.50 to go nap, and it was the best $12.50 I was going to spend all day.
All right, well, we didn't get to our Grand Theft Auto story, but it's that lawmakers in Illinois are blaming carjackings on Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, boy.
So, the video game.
That damn rock and roll music.
Yep. That's right. So we'll have to do that some other time. I think John wraps it up next, huh?
You're correct. Well, we've given him like 2 30-second segments, so he'll get a real one this time.
What do you think he brings to the table tonight?
He won't
tonight?
Be ready for it.
Probably
today.
Nothing.
He wants the 30-second segment,
like, hey,
today.
What are you guys doing?
Yeah.
I can always tell right when he comes on if he's got something or if he doesn't.
He's just stumbling.
Well, here we go.
Yeah, buckle up.
6:45 on The Fan.
Into the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
This is Mailing It In with Big John Sicanic on 1080 The Fan.
Big Bad John.
Hey, traffic alert. You want a hot traffic tip?
Absolutely.
On I-5, nobody south of Woodburn. So this is I-5 northbound. It's all lanes closed.
Oh, it sounds wonderful.
There's a wreck. So if you're coming up, maybe say from Salem or whatever.
You're hooped.
And you're listening to us right now. Just know.
get ready to stop.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec coming up next. New lineup on The Fan starts Monday. John, did you know that?
Actually, I have a question about that. And yes, it's very exciting. It's very exciting, the new lineup. So, and maybe you guys have talked about this, but it's been bugging me for like 2 days. So Dusty and AJ, they haven't done a show yet, have they?
No.
So what, like, they have little promos where they're trying to make you think they've done a show? What is that, just a big lie by 1080 The Fan? What, like?
I asked this question as well, and one of two things are happening. Either one, they did like a pretend show and they just recorded stuff, or they told them to come in and cut some promos with some hot takes. And I'm starting to think that it was the latter.
Now, you guys being radio professionals, is is the fake show something that, like, is that something you would do? Like, would they say, come do a fake show so we can get some hot takes?
I don't know if it's so we can get some hot takes. I think people do a couple of practice shows just so you get used to the flow. So your first show on the air isn't just like, hi, I'm AJ. Hi, I'm Dusty. Okay.
Now, this is
let's talk some sports.
This is just me. I've never done a fake show in my life.
Me neither.
Right.
Wouldn't.
Right.
No.
In fact,
I'm trying to think what would happen if they asked Rob to do a fake show.
You're saying earlier in your career, Isaac, if they said, hey, you're going to be put with a new partner, you want to do like a quick 1 hour with them just to get loose?
No.
You would have said no?
Sure. If I could. If I could get away with it, yeah.
Hell I'm going to throw this out there. Being I'm not a radio professional at all, but I have done shows with both of you.
Yes.
At one point, it was the first time I had done a show with each one of you. And I would like to point out that for each one of you, my brother and Isaac, before I did the big show with you guys, my debut, I think I asked, like, hey, should I come in and we can practice? And you guys both said, ah, just come in and wing it.
We got you. Don't worry about it.
And it worked, and it was great. And now I would be that guy. Like, if somebody said, hey, John, like, you've been on the radio, should I practice? I'd say, no, just wing it.
Here's the thing. When you're doing a daily radio show, 2 days makes no difference.
No.
Like, if you practice for 2 days, that first show may be a little less clunky, but that doesn't matter. You're about to do a show every day for hopefully, many years. Just get in, get in there. Just jump into the pool and start a swimming. You'll be fine. Maybe a little awkward at first, but there's no reason to show up for 2 effing hours so that the first segment can be better.
That's the Captain Ron philosophy. Hey, should we check out this boat? No, let's get it out. If something's gonna happen, it's gonna happen out on the water.
Who gives an ass? Let's see what happens. Crack it open. Crack the mic. Let's go.
I'm that way with most things, though. I don't know. You just go figure it out. You'll make it happen.
Just the prospect, and I don't know why this is, but I don't know AJ. She seems lovely. I know Dusty. He's a cheater at Whipple Wall, but other than that, he's a decent human being. And I just find the prospect of them sitting in a room pretending to do a show and recording it hilarious. I don't know why. I just think that's fun.
I know it's she awkward. Was on his show when they announced the new pairing. So maybe it came from that. I don't know. But they probably just had him come in and cut some promos. Right.
I'd like to believe that they forced them to do like a 2 hour show because there's no breaks, right? Do you reach a point where you're like, you do a fake break and then you take a 30 second pause and then you restart? I don't know. I've never done one.
I don't
one.
Even think I could do a fake show because you know it's fake. And so then you're like, let me say that again. I don't want to.
Yeah.
There's something about being live and you just have to go.
Right. Just wing it.
Wing it.
Okay. Now I'm glad we settled that. Now I have a TV recommendation for you. I heard you guys talking about the Hotel Cecil one.
Yeah.
Okay. So I watched that too, and I really liked it. Although I was disappointed by the ending.
We all were.
I thought.
Well, look. Here's the dirty little secret about the Cecil Hotel documentary. They kind of pull the wool over your eyes for 3.5 episodes until then it's like, well, why didn't they tell us that from the beginning?
If they told you one thing at the beginning, then it all would have come together. Makes sense.
Yeah. So
they do a great job because that footage of her in the elevator is really spooky.
Yeah,
it is.
And so they do a really good job of making you think something crazy is going to happen, but I won't give it away. You guys know, obviously, but what happens is really kind of boring, I thought.
Well, something crazy does happen. It's just not as sensational.
There's an easy solution. An answer.
They get your mind a going, and then they bring it back down to reality. Like, okay, here's what happened. And it's very logical.
Right. Now, I don't know if you guys have seen this or heard about it. My wife stumbled upon it the other night. It's on Netflix. It's called I Care a Lot. It's a movie. Have you heard or seen that?
My daughter saw it and said it was great.
It's amazing. So Rosamund Pike is in it. She's the girl from Gone Girl, and she was in the first Jack Reacher.
Yeah.
And Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones is in it. And it's called I Care a Lot, and I won't just go watch it.
It's a movie?
My wife stumbled upon it. I watched it like halfway through, and I made her rewind it to the beginning and start over because I got so into it. It's really, really well done.
Okay. I Care a Lot.
There you go.
And it's a movie.
Yes.
Yeah. It's 2 hours. It's a good watch. It goes quick.
Okay.
It's really good. I'm not going to say it's 100%er, but it's You're pushing 90% approval rating. It's really good.
Okay, fella. Have a good weekend.
All right, you guys too. We'll see you later.
All right. We'll see you later. All right, well, there it is. An era has ended.
Yeah.
It has not become.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Dirt and Sprague middays. So beginning Monday, Dirt and Sprague will be on at 6 in the morning. AJ and Dusty, the new era has become, literally has become, noon to 3. Isn't that exciting? Huh. Doesn't that excite you?
Go Owls.
With greatness. Recruiting with Andrew Nemec is coming up next. We are back Monday, 3 to 5:30. Another short show because of those damn Ducks.
We got another one that week, too.
God.
Cool.
We'll see you then on The Fan. Good night.
Red Ships of Spain. Red Ships.